Well, I said this morning we would talk tonight about the problem of insecurity. And no matter your background, everyone does battle insecurity to some extent. The reason for that is that we are all born insecure. The reason that we are born insecure is that we are born in sin, conceived in sin, and from the very beginning, we are in a predisposition to be in rebellion against God and to go our own way. And that, as we get older, we begin to realize that our lives do not please first authorities and then God. And that is emphasized within us by conscience. In Romans chapter 2, it talks about even the Gentile world has a conscience excusing or not excusing the things that come up in our lives. Very, very real, very pointed in our hearts and lives. And so therefore, we all have this sense that we have come short of the glory of God. We have not measured up to the standard that God has given to us. There is something wrong with us. And that, we trust, will lead a person to salvation. But that inner sense of our alienation from God is a big deal in all of our lives. And so men and women from early childhood on do everything they can to try to feel good about themselves. Try to overcome that. Try to have a sense that they are measuring up to whatever standard they have in their mind. And of course, all fall short. All have that deep sense of defeat and discouragement. Now, the number one thing that we're going to see in just a few minutes that solves this is to first come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And you understand that the sin has been paid for, that you are a child of God, and that there is hope for your life. That, of course, is very, very important. And we're going to look at that. But I want to just talk a few minutes about the fact that this matter of having the right kind of confidence instead of insecurity is essential in our lives. It's essential in the lives of children. Emotional instability comes from a deep sense of inadequacy, a lack of affirmation and encouragement. Now, the world solves this by talking about a self-image and endeavoring to give approval to children, and they miss, of course, the whole problem that we have with sin and how we need to settle that. But they do acknowledge that emotional stability is very much affected by our perspective on ourselves. And a child that is insecure and does not solve that is going to have just a number of different issues. They're going to do everything they can to gain attention of their peers. They will try to achieve. They will try to look better than their peers, or they will try to be popular. They will do sometimes clown-type things to get attention, or other means to be known today. In our world, people do the craziest things to somehow get some notice on social media or even the media, and to the extent of even doing atrocious things, just because there is this deep craving for attention, and somehow they think that would give approval. So they become a slave to that. And it's a very serious thing. That's one of the things that is often noted in studies on social media, is the enormous problem that tweens and teens have with the absolute need for approval, especially in the social media realm. Another aspect is the great temptation for younger people to gain attention through relationships. And many times of the opposite gender, of course, and there they can stumble into problems, but somehow that gives a sense of excitement that somebody approves of them. So there's all kinds of issues that can come for children, and many other things could be said. For adults, all of the above are in there, though we're more sophisticated in how we show our insecurities. But you may remember the messages by Dr. Jim in which he talked about a hurt occurs, or there is a sin that occurs in an adult's life, and that does not get handled appropriately, and insecurity that they already have in their life becomes even more apparent. And so to handle this lack of a sense of meaning or a sense of approval that they have achieved in life, many other things, there are things that adults will do. Number one is addiction to work. Just become absolutely consumed with trying to prove oneself that way. Another is to gain social approval and have a great deal of, and this goes along with the work aspect, wanting to have enough material possessions to be seen as being worthy and having some status in life. And that can become a very severe problem. Every so often I'll be, like we were down in New York in the financial district with the senior class recently, and it just reminded me again, you can just sense the intense pressure of all those people on Wall Street. I can't imagine what the social pressures are on people in different environments. You find that in Washington, D.C. It's just very apparent. And so you have teenagers that are 60 years old and have power in D.C., basically, is the way it is. Then there are, of course, the addictions that are not that are seen as addictions, the escapes that come from the hurt that comes in a person's life, the sense of rejection because of insecurity. You know, if you are overtly insecure, you make other people insecure with you. If you're aware of self, then people are aware that you're aware of self. It can be viewed as prideful. By the way, many people that you think are arrogant and prideful are extremely insecure. But that is their cover for the hurt that is within them. But what happens is when a person is self-possessed, that is not the type of person that most people want to know. And so they have put an aura around them that has caused them not to have meaningful relationships and can feel very isolated and unfulfilled in life, and it's a tragic thing. And so trying to cope with things, as was mentioned by Dr. Jim, we go into addictions, things that are not appropriate, but they give momentary relief from the stress or the inadequacies in life. And there are many different things, from, of course, the drug addictions, the sexual addictions, it can go to overeating, overworking, as I've already mentioned. It can be cigarettes. It doesn't make sense, a lot of things that people do. But it's their coping mechanisms. It can be caffeine. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't in my notes. It made me think of that. One of our deacons came into our deacon's prayer meeting today with a cup of coffee, and a couple of the other men made a little fun of him, and then reminded them that he is the director of the addictions program at I won't tell you who it is. I'm going to keep that anonymous, but you know, it's amazing the things that we do have to have. Now, caffeine's fine unless you have to have it, okay? And that just about covered all of you on that one, but we'll move on. That's not in my notes. It's not part of my message, but it's got a little truth to it. Exercise, and I'm all for exercise, but that can be addictive and an escape. That really can. anything that gives a dopamine high to escape the pressures of just a sense of failure can be very much a problem. Temper is a very clearly a result of insecurity and lack of confidence, and there's just a reaction to any kind of opposition in life and an inability to handle any kind of rejection in relationships. If you get angry, one of the main things is you've got unresolved hurts and you don't feel really good about yourself, and this is your way of coping. So you see, when you're angry or you say ugly things, you have put yourself in a controlling position, you think. You actually don't, but you think, or you may intimidate, and that's all coping for insecurities. And then, of course, the basic thing that's so devastating is that insecurity usually is the reflexive response is that of bitterness, blaming somebody else for what isn't the best in your life, and so that you can get in the grip of that. There can be a great depression and discouragement with just an inner sense of failure, just an acute sense that just I'm not measuring up and I'm just not doing well. And for some people that struggle with insecurity, then they struggle with preaching because they are interpreting preaching from a human performance acceptance standpoint instead of the grace of God that will solve everything and the great working of the Holy Spirit to help you be what you ought to be. But people can become just have a deep sense of failure, and they focus on one thing, and men in particular have this problem of becoming more and more depressed. And then another aspect of insecurity, just like we mentioned with children into the teen years, of wrong relationships, well, that happens very much with adults. In fact, behind much of the immorality and all of the things that grieve us about our culture, that causes there to be breakups in marriages, especially when it involves the wrong relationships, it is this deep sense of need because of a lack of confidence and insecurity, and they just long for someone to care about them. They're very vulnerable for a wrong relationship. And that's why you have to get on the victory side on this, because you're out in the everyday world, you can be very susceptible to the wiles of the devil in this kind of area. All right, well, that's not a very good list, is it? But insecurity is a problem. Now, some of the reasons that we need to look at for this. Number one reason, as I said, is that we're cut off from God. We're not measuring up to His standard. And if a parent does not have a solid relationship with a child and leads them to respect themselves and as an authority and then the Lord and learn how to respond in a way that pleases God, a lack of relationship with a parent, especially one of the same gender, will increase the natural insecurity that we have. And when I'm speaking to parents, this is not a parent session here tonight, but when I speak to parents, this is a big deal. In all the years of ministry, I've seen this repeated over and over. How many men are insecure because they never had approval from their dad? They are searching for that all of their life. I got good news. There's a father that will. But we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is a big problem for ladies. Ladies who have been married for years still long for that approval from their mother. Never had that meaningful relationship. Feel very inadequate in what they do in life as a woman. It's a tragic thing. And so that's why as parents, one of the things we can do, along with all the spiritual truth that we need to teach our children, is to have a meaningful, honest, open relationship consistent with discipline, so a child learns to respond respectfully with the right attitude and obeys immediately, and that develops a relationship, and then you can communicate, you open your heart, you're able to have a oneness with your child, and all of that gives them an opportunity to really understand who they are, have a purpose about that, and then when God is flowing through that relationship, people can really overcome. Young people in a good home can overcome a lot of the insecurities that most people face. But it's really tragic to me how many Christian teens, Christian young adults brought up in a Christian home still struggle with insecurity in an overt way because of a lack of relationship with their parents. So that's something to really think about. Unresolved bitterness throughout the years will cause there to be a very deep problem with really accepting God's grace to solve the problems, because you grieve the Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 4, when there is that blaming. And so unresolved hurts with your parents in particular, I don't care how old you are, they may already be gone. Unresolved conflicts with extended family or people that have hurt you in the past, if that is there and there is a reaction in your soul about that, I promise you, you're going to be self-focused and you're going to be insecure. There will not be confidence. You may try to act confident like you're in control of things, but there is that emotional unsettledness that is there that will cause you to not have control over your emotions, not have control over the matter of temper and anger and saying things. And so what happens then people react to you. Your marriage isn't what it ought to be. Now you're insecure from that because you're bitter in your marriage. Many husbands are bitter, as the Bible says in Colossians 3, because they are expecting something from their wives and not loving them as Christ loves the church. And so as they are bitter with their wives are hurting, and so they react back. And now everything you feel bad about yourself is just exaggerated because of this constant conflict that is there. And it just, anytime bitterness is allowed to be there, if you got bitterness on the job, I can tell you right now, you're not going to be in a happy state of mind, and you're going to feel very much the negative reactions to you. Then an unwillingness to accept how God has made you. We're all different. Aren't you glad? I don't think any of us would want to live in a world of people just like us. That'd be rather disastrous, you know. We're all different. We're all gifted differently. I admire some of the giftings. I just can't believe how people, I mean, top people in physics and able to figure out how to get to the Mars, you know. I mean, how in the world do they think like that, you know? I just get a headache to just read an article about it, you know, just to think that they spend a lifetime, but they just, that's like eating ice cream to them, you know, they just love that kind of thing. Some people have great ability to, discerning people and being merciful and knowing some how to manage people, some that are extremely organized, some that are very creative and very sensitive and able to produce great works of art. And we're all different. We all have different personalities. Some are shyer than others. Some are just naturally overt, and so on. It's very interesting. That's what I love about a church. It seems like the Lord always puts about every kind of person there can be. I mean, I think our church has it all. I mean, we are very complete that way. We've got all the personalities, and that's what makes it so special. This is not a boring church at all, and most Baptist churches aren't. Baptist churches just have... we're ready to receive everyone, and it's wonderful. And but in all of that, if you start feeling insecure about your abilities and have not accepted how God made you, I'm sorry, no one here is probably going to make the cover of a beauty magazine or that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, even the top Hollywood artists feel very insecure about how they look. I mean, it's sad. Or the great abilities that people have. You know, I have come to the conclusion I will not make it into the NBA. I'm aware of that. It just isn't going to happen. That's not going to be part of what I get to do. That's a joke. That never was part of my thinking. But there's all kinds of the ways people evaluate one another folks, God made you exactly for what he's called you to do. And then he gifts you spiritually to empower you miraculously to do what you are to do. But it's terrible, some of the terrible insecurities that comes because of comparing ourselves with ourselves. We're not wise. You have to be very careful about that. A big one, I've already alluded to this at the introduction, guilt. Guilt is, I'm telling you, you're insecure when you're not right with God. You just are. When you're aware of guilt, there's a conscience. One lady for 56 years did not come to resolution about the fact that she had a friend when she was in elementary school that had a brain tumor, and three times that friend pled with her to come over and see her, and she just didn't have time for it, and then that girl died. And for 56 years, that was on the conscience of a woman and made her miserable until she finally came to grips with it years later. Now, that's sort of an extreme example, but I'm telling you, a lot of Christians live with guilt. And let me just say this, a little test for you. If you have ongoing guilt that's not been solved, most of the time when you hear preaching, that comes to mind. You've heard me say many times, I have preached on something, and then I'll have somebody, I've had people say, you always preach on this. And I'll say, you know, I don't think I preached on that for about 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years. No, you always preach on that. Well, no, I've not been preaching on it, but the Holy Spirit has. And such as smoking or something like that. And I've literally had that happen. But that's what happens. Anytime something comes up in your mind, or you go to sleep in the middle of the night, you wake up and there's something that comes to mind. And that can actually be blown out of proportion at that time. But that's something that could easily be settled if you'd be willing to go to the Lord. Guilt does not need to be there. I'm so thankful for the emphasis during the conference on the matter of shame. Not accepting the forgiveness of God after you have confessed your guilt, after you've confessed your sin. You are no longer marked, my friend, by what sin you committed. Yes, there may be consequences, there may be things you have to live with, but as far as you're concerned, from God's perspective, and from which is the key, and what you are now in Christ, you don't have to bear that perspective that that's who I am now. No, you are not. You have been saved and sanctified by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. And shame will make people feel very insecure. I like what 1 John 3:21 says. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, one of the greatest things in life to have is a clean conscience. Clean conscience, number one, because you have confessed your sins, and then number two, you have accepted the clean heart. You believe what 1 John 1:9 says. And I'm telling you, don't leave your prayer time until you have given that to God. Because Satan will come along and accuse you, and that is not going to honor him. Yes, you can grieve about what has been done and forgiven, but you must not carry that as shame and identify that as who you are now. No, you are now in Christ, and the potential is there, which we're going to talk about here in a minute. So it's very important that we get a hold of that. So let's just, I've already alluded to several things here. Let's talk about overcoming this matter of feeling insecure. Number one, need to accept Christ as your Savior. The only way to get over that break in relationship to the Lord is to trust Him and become a new creation in Christ through salvation. We are saved by grace, not by works. And then the Spirit of the living God comes in and indwells us. All right, I want to take a moment here. Once we got saved, what happens to us? Just give me some, you can speak out. I know normally we don't do that in the service. Well, what happened once you got saved? Justified, so legally declared righteous, okay? What else? You become a son of God, a child of God, as we talked about this morning, okay? You get the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. You are now a temple, right? You are the dwelling place. You're the Holy of Holies. Thank you. Think of anything else? Got the big... Excuse me? Service. You get to be part of his service? You get put into his service. Yes, you become now a servant of the Most High God. You're an ambassador. on behalf of Jesus Christ. Yes, wonderful. Okay. God is your Father. Yeah. You now are a child of God, and you can go directly to the Father. All right? Very good. Joint heirs with Christ. That's what I was looking for, that one. That's an amazing thought. So salvation is important, isn't it? You see, we go from coming short of the glory of God to, whoa, we're a new creation. Old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. What a tremendous perspective. Satan does not have to control in our life. He has been defeated, and we can have victory over him. And so there are many, many things that we... So we need to understand that that salvation has changed everything. Now, I know this is so simple, but, you know, sometimes it's the simple thoughts that make the difference. A little bit of teaching here again. How much did you do to earn your salvation? So, I mean, you didn't have to do anything? I mean, God gave you salvation as a free gift? Okay, so it wasn't your worth, is that correct? Now think with me then. Why in the world as Christians are we worried about our self-worth? We already, in accepting Christ, did we not declare it that self-worth is nothing? Are you with me? Simple. But folks, we go back, just like it's easy to become religious after we get saved, we go back to earning our sanctification. We go back to earning approval from God. We talked so much about that a few months ago. Acceptance, performance acceptance, how we just feel like, you know, God's, you know, somehow we got to earn some kind of place and position with God. Now, folks, we have to take steps of faith, and we've got to obey and surrender. You've heard all those messages. But I'm telling you, everything that occurs in your life, as you trust him, it is all done by God, and it proves his worthiness, not your worthiness. In fact, the great goal of our life has to be he's worthy, and that's what I want everybody to know. You're not proving how great you are proving how great he is. Your salvation needs to be seen, as we saw this morning. The glorification that is promised to you in heaven ought to be seen in its potential now because of the glory of the Spirit of God that indwells us. You see, the focus has to get off of us and must be put on Jesus. That's how you know you're saved. He's the one that saves. And that's how you get it straight as to who you are. It's all about him, and he's given us what we need in his word and through the Spirit of God to live in a way that will please him through his power. We have to take steps of faith. But I'm telling you, when we humble ourselves before God, God will work in our hearts. He will give us the wisdom we need. We can get the counsel we need. And it isn't about our achieving it. It is about our yielding to God and just taking each step humbly, each moment as he shows us, and then God will change us. So it's not by trying to feel good about yourself. Folks, that just isn't going to work. Any worship of self is deadly wrong. It's just a great danger. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." And so it is not ever solved by having focus on ourselves. And let me just say that many parents try to get kids to feel good about themselves without teaching them who they are in Christ, without getting a spirit-filled image instead of a self-image. And then when that doesn't work, then parents can really make wrong decisions in how they react to their children. And so we need to get a hold of who we are in Christ and allow him to work. Well, I promised we'd be done by 7, so we're going to finish here. There's a few more things, but the most important thing is walk with the Lord. Do you know how to have a good image, a good confidence tomorrow, and not a bad self-perspective insecurity? Spend time with God and meditate on these things. Rejoice in who you are. Rest in Him. I can tell you, if you have a solid prayer time and are in the Word every day, insecurity begins to melt because you stop looking at yourself. I got a little secret for you. If you focus on yourself, you will have every reason in the world to be insecure. Okay, isn't that wonderful? What a way to end a message. No, but it's true. If you focus on yourself, you can get a pretty good case that you aren't where you ought to be. But you focus on Jesus, you realize I can get there by the grace of God. And I want to get there to please Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these simple truths, would you work them in our hearts? Help us to realize that we can have confidence that comes from above. And Lord, I pray that no one here will go away discouraged about themselves. Yes, we fail. Yes, we aren't where we ought to be. We got to be honest. We got to be humble. We've got to be broken. But Lord, it's everything can be dealt with. All things can be handled by the grace of God if we will commit them to you. Now, Lord, would you teach us this? Work in our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.